In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. And quick blessed resurrection Easter for those, all our brothers and sisters are celebrating today also on the Western calendar. We move on with our journey. We're not yet celebrating the Easter yet, but we always keep our eyes on the resurrection of the Lord and keep our eye on the hope of and the power and the grace and the love of His resurrection. That's why the church, again, move on with this journey from setting and getting our minds to the treasure which is in the heart, into the victory that's for us in the or over the mount of temptation last Sunday, and then moving on today with another beautiful story, beautiful parable of the prodigal son. It's a parable that we've probably heard before, talked about it before several times, but we come back again today and to thirst and hunger for new understanding and for the Lord to give us something different. Usually when we look at and when we hear and when we read and we think about the prodigal son, the first thing that comes to our mind is what? The repentance, right? The repentance of the prodigal son. But if you look at the actual parable, there is much more than just the repentance. It's not about the repentance, actually. It's about what? It's about the father. It's about the father's love, the father's acceptance, the father's welcoming, the father's renewal, the father's wealth, which still comes hand to hand and side by side with the repentance. But the whole purpose of the beautiful parable is the Lord is saying, you know what? You need to know me. You need to know who I am. You need to know who and what I have for you. Something that we probably a lot of times we miss or we get confused or we don't really know what that is and what does it mean. What does it mean? The prodigal son, basically what he did is, he did something that is actually written in the scriptures from before and was God's willingness and God's way of looking and God's instruction to the people from the time of the fall. You know, return to me and I will return to you. Right? So when the Lord is saying that parable, he's giving that understanding. One back again to the book of Proverbs, as I was saying, there is a beautiful verse in the book of Proverbs that actually summarizes, and we can link it very, very, very well to that parable of the prodigal son today. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." We probably know this verse, right? I hope so. The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Well, what is that? What does that have anything to do with the prodigal son? What it does is the whole parable in that verse. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. To him is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. And we'll talk about this and see exactly what does that have to do with us, with our own struggle, with our own life, with our own journey in this, specifically and especially during this Lent, right? During this Lent that we, you know, I don't know about you, but I can really feel how much, as we were talking about this before, how much during the Lent, you know, the devil is very, very strong, and the temptations are very strong, and the fights are all over the place, right? From within, from without, you can really see that, you know, there is something that's trying to get our attention, our thoughts, our minds from moving on into the journey of the resurrection into our own issues and our own problems. But then that's where comes the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. The name itself, the word name itself in Hebrew is Shem. Sem or Shem, which is Ism in Arabic. Which is also have a very, very connection to a word in Arabic which is sima, character, the designation. And when the scripture brings that attention, bring that to our mind, that the name, the Shem, the character, the one thing that the church and the scripture wants to tell us here now is pay attention to that character of the Lord, who is the Father. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, there is a beautiful verse. It says, John 17, 25 and 26. The Lord, this is the last prayer of the Lord, right? Towards the end. It says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. I made known to them your name. So the function and the work and the mission and the ministry of the Lord is he's revealing the name of the Father to us. He's revealing the name of the Father to us. And that's exactly what the prodigal son recognized, right? And that's why here you see the son and the father and the character of the father. He recognized that he is a father that is waiting. A figure, again, that could be very, very hard to understand sometimes, you know, because, you know, whether we have good relationship with our, you know, biological fathers or not, but sometimes that, you know, that figure of the father might not really fit with the fatherly figure of the Lord himself. Right? And it's not really quite sometimes clear what does that mean. But the prodigal son recognized that. And he worked and lived this particular passage specifically. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. He recognized this and he ran. Although the parable says that the father ran, but they're both running to meet him and to find in him safety. And we'll talk about this. What does that have to do with us as we are in this life and as we are struggling day after day with our weaknesses, with our everything? If you go back again to Proverbs 18:10, you know, the first thing again is the name of the Lord. The name here is a character. The name actually, if we look at the scripture, the name is connected to the glory, right? For the name of the Lord, the glory of the name. The name is also connected with the eternity, with life. You know, do not blot out our name from the book of life, right? Let the name of the Lord be exalted forever. So the name is something that we recognize that it is character, it is a designation of who he is, it is glory, it is eternity. Right? But when we recognize all those things, we have to take an action. We have to take an action. And that's why the parable, the proverb says that what the name of the Lord is a strong, the righteous man does what? Runs. So first thing I want to talk about here with in relationship to the parable of the prodigal son is run. I will never experience God as a father unless I run to him. And the beauty of that you find him running towards you. Right? The word run actually is in the Greek is the verb askeo, which from it ascetic, that's what we've been studying on Wednesday. So run here, exercise, right? That's spiritual exercise. The exercise that is meant literally for the athlete to run in order to be fit. And that's where the understanding of all what practices comes from, right? That we need to run. We need to put that effort. We need to really make sure that we are able to see the Father and to know him. Are we running or not? The prodigal son at one point ran the other way, right? Ran according to his own thoughts, his own desires, his own needs. But, you know, he learned the hard way. Thank God we're supposed to have all the, you know, blueprints where to run and the direction. But we still choose to run the wrong direction. Run. Exercise. That makes sense now when we say, okay, we have to read the Bible. We have to pray. We have to have a daily quiet time with him. We have to do this. We have to do this. It's not just because we have to, but because we exercise in order to be fit, in order to be able to run, in order to meet the Father. Run to the name. Number one, run. Number two is a beautiful word and very puzzling word in that proverb again. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Who runs towards it? The righteous. What does that, how is that possible? What is the righteous? Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? The person that is sinless? The person that is, you know, doing everything exactly according to the law and the Torah and the commandments? The person that is oozing oil and light from his face and fingers? No. If you noticed, I just noticed it today, to be honest with you, when we were praying the prayer of the hours in the sixth hour gospel, the Beatitudes. What is it? Blessed are who? Are the righteous? What does the text say? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He is not giving beatitude to those who are righteous in our understanding. Blessed are those who are righteous. No. He's blessing those who want to be righteous, who have thirst and hunger for righteousness. That is the righteous person. The prodigal son, when he recognized where he's at and turned and switched and changed his mind, that at this moment he is righteous. Because he is running towards that. We always have that idea and the mindset of the righteous person, the saintly person that is, you know, doing and performing miracles and praying 24 hours, you know. The righteous is the one that is wanting, hungering and thirsting for the Father. The desire of the heart. Even though if I may be weak, maybe I'm not able to or not fully strong enough to do that. But being, wanting, hungering, thirsting for that righteousness. Are we really hunger and thirsty for righteousness or not? Are we hunger and thirsty for everything else? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man here, the one that desires. The one that desires. That's why we come to the liturgy. That's why we come to the church, because we desire to unite with him. We are not worthy to unite with him. We are not worthy to be here. We're not here because we are so good. But we're here because we desire change. Because we are so sick and so tired and so exhausted and so anxious and so depressed and so everything. But that is righteousness, which is different than our mindset. Again, you know, when we ask people, like, okay, well, show up, or why don't you come? Like, well, I'm not good enough. Well, that's why we need to come. When the priest come before the liturgy and pray the prayers of preparation for the liturgy, he said, send down from your holiness power so I can continue and complete and finish this prayer. It's not because I'm righteous. And the church put it very, very clear. This is something that I have to pray. To ask God for his power in order to be able to continue and finish the service. This is the righteous person. Run, exercise, righteous in the way of understand and desire that. And finally, know what we have. Know what we have. We're running into the Lord, into the name of the Lord as a strong tower because of what? Into it we'll find what? Safety. What is safety? What is safety? Interestingly, when you look more into the meaning of that and the word itself in the original, the word is sagab, which is actually not safety, but in order to be lifted up, to be higher, to be exalted, to be lofty. And when we are exalted, we are safe. So when we hear this proverb and this verse, we always think and ask about our own safety. Okay, I'll be safe from pandemic or from this or from that. It's not about that. The Lord is saying, run to me as the strong tower. Run to me as a righteous because you are thirsty and hungry for me. And you know what I'll do with you? I'll exalt you. I'll lift you up. And because you are lifted up, because you're exalted, you are safe. That is the idea behind it. In some of the translation, that the righteous man will be, in Arabic especially, yurfa, to be lifted. And that's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. He was lifted up, and he was given everything. So the third point here we'll talk about, remember and know our position. Where should we be? We shouldn't be with the swine. We shouldn't be there. We should be exalted. We shouldn't be drowning in our own troubles and our own problems and our own thoughts and our own self-pitiness and everything. We shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be there. But we should be lifted up. We should be exalted. But we won't do this unless we run to the name of the Lord, the Father. That's exactly what the prodigal son did. Today is an invitation for everyone, all of us, to say that it's enough to be with the swine. It's enough to be drowning in our own world of anxiety, of fear, of everything. But run. That's all what he's asking for you. You know, run and I will run to you. The father ran and was, as the parable saying, as the father said, that he was waiting every day and looking out and waiting for him to come. Run, exercise. Now we know why, again, we, the church, keep saying we need to pray, we need to read, we need to do this, because all those things are making us able to run, to wait for him. Number two, again, as we said, righteousness is the desire, the thirst and hunger to be with him, to run to him. And finally, remember who we are. Remember what he has for us. He wants to lift us up, right? But everything else is pulling us down. I'll end with a passage from one of the homilies for John Chrysostom. It talks about God's love. He says, he gives us the Lord himself for a garment. That's what was done with the prodigal son. But the garment that he gave him, you know, John Chrysostom says that when the Father gives us the Lord himself for a garment, the King himself, as in another place he says, but if Christ be in you, right, he gives us himself. And again, that Christ may dwell in the inner man in Ephesians 3. And then he goes on, John Chrysostom goes on, for he would have our soul to be a dwelling for himself, and himself to be laid round about us as a garment, that he may be unto us all things, both from within and from without. That the Lord becomes for us, what? Everything, from within and from without. For he is our fullness, for he is the fullness of him that filled all and all, and the way, and the husband, and the bridegroom. For, as it says in 2 Corinthians 11, for I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to one husband. He becomes a father, becomes a brother, a joint heir and share of the tomb and the cross. For it says, we were buried together with him. And it continues, John Chrysostom, he goes, for what is there that he is not minded to be to us? What is there that he is not minded to be for us? That's exactly what the father did. He did everything. Right? And he told the other son, what is mine is yours. Again, for what is there that he is not minded to be to us, when he makes us cleave and fit unto him in every way? And this is the sign of one loving exceedingly. Let's run today to him to experience that love. Maybe we don't know what that is. Maybe we know by name, we know God loves us all and love God. But what does it mean really? I think coming to the house of the living God, as we said, is that experience. As we continue the liturgy and during that time, we say, like, here we are. You here, you came to give us everything. You gave us yourself. Let's pray for that. Let's run. Let's seek righteousness. And let's remember that we, our position, our place, to be exalted with him. And that's how we continue to be with him. To him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.